Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I'm so glad you joined me today. All things are possible to those who believe. You can get anything you ask for in prayer. If you believe that God is the God of the universe and he's the one who sent our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of sins. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing, folks, what God has done for us. It really is. This morning I had to bury a little bird. It died on my patio, and there it was. I opened the curtains, and there it was lying on the concrete on the patio. And I said, "Oh, no, Lord, that little bird." And he said, "I want you to go to Matthew 10:29. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? That's the smallest coin. Aren't two sparrows sold for a cent, smallest coin, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." This is Jesus speaking. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows." So I gave the little sparrow a little service. And as I covered him up, I said, "Thank you, Father God, for the sparrows." And yes, Kimberly, you're on the air, aren't you?
I am. I know. I was wishing I had been there with you. I would have been singing in your backyard.
Yes, you would have.
Those little birds are constantly singing over us, you know,
they
and
are.
we don't recognize that. And I just love our God's heart for birds, for his creation.
Yes.
He loves his creation.
That's right. I know that many of you think that we're gone off the air. We're not. We're here. And you are blessed to dispense. I will say that every time I'm on the air with you. Now you can get us either by going to freedomstreet.org and clicking on radio shows under resources, radio shows. And you can listen to any radio show. We keep them up to date. Rachel puts them on the web, and then I give them titles, and we put them on the web. So I believe that the best thing you can do is memorize that, freedomstreet.org, or you can memorize Barbara at freedomstreet.org or Kimberly at freedomstreet.org. We're there for you. We really are. We want to pray with you. We want to call you back. Leave your number, call you back, and pray with you. So we are not far. We are not far from you. And Kimberly, I think they can find it on Spotify also. And
Yes. So if there are any questions, you can just email us with your questions. We'll get back to you, and
yes,
we'll give you more detailed instructions on how to find us.
That's right. And we're there. It's very simple. Very, very simple. Our memory verse for this week has been Psalm 19, verse 14. I love this verse, Kimberly. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." See, God hears what we say. He hears everything we do and everything we say. And so our words have to be pure. Our words have to be directed toward him in absolute purity and honesty and truth toward God.
That's right. That's right. I kind of took your memory verse for the week, Mom, and I decided I want to talk more about God's will. I think I touched on it last week or a week before. His revealed will and his sovereign will are different to us. And when we're looking at his revealed will in his written word, we see all the instructions that he is revealing to us, that he would like for us to walk in and become more like him. And we eventually figure out that we've all fallen short of this written will, his revealed will. That is very true. Romans 3 tells us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. So his revealed will is wonderful, but none of us are able to consistently keep pleasing words in our thoughts or in our speech. Mm-hmm. And that is what David is revealing to us in Psalm 19:14. He's asking the Lord, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you.
Yes.
And he needs God's help. He needs God to help him from all the deception and the presumption. The human condition is constantly assuming in this life. We can read the word and we can assume we know exactly what it means, but our God is higher than the heavens.
Yes.
And he is deeper and wider than any oceans. And so we can't assume anything. We have got to be asking him for revelation. So in this passage in Psalm 19, David admits that he needs the Lord's help to remain pure and blameless.
Mm-hmm.
He needs God's help to have words in his mouth and thoughts in his head that are pleasing to God.
That's right. In the Message, Psalm 19:14 through 16 says, God's word warns us of danger. Yes, it does. And directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how will we find our way or know when we play the fool? Clean the slate, O God, so we can start the day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. I really like that. Think we can take over God's work. Then I can start this day scrubbed clean of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth. Adam and Eve thought they could start without God. They could take over God's work. They thought that.
Right.
Yes.
Well, yes, because we have been given free will, free opinions, mm-hmm. free goals. Mm-hmm. And so we use those goals and those opinions and that free will all the time.
Yes.
That's what we have been given. And what we don't understand, because we're so busy in this life, we stay busy with our agendas and our schedules in this life. What we don't understand is that we have been made to not lean on our own understanding, mm-hmm. to not lean on our own opinions. That's what Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge the Lord, look to him. Look to his sovereign will in our lives. And it is his sovereign will. So I'm differentiating his sovereign will from his revealed will. That revealed will I see as a lot of instruction that we've been given. But his sovereign will, that takes over when we are floundering and failing at keeping his revealed will.
Yes.
Like David, we choose to ask for help in remaining blameless, since we can't do it on our own.
That's right, yes.
And that's how we start letting go of our own understanding, our own opinions, our own agendas, and looking to the Lord at all times. And it's possible that you who are listening right now have a poor view of God's sovereignty. It might carry the idea that when bad things happen in this life, it's part of God's sovereign will. We've heard that a lot. That God is sovereign. And so when something happens that or breaks in our world, well, God is sovereign. To know him, to truly know his sovereign will, you have to get to know his heart. And I love that you started out talking about that little bird,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord has a heart for his creation, for
yes.
his little birds. He talks about them all the time.
That's
in Scripture.
Right. Yes.
And you're right. He knows the very hairs on our head and has them numbered. He cares about the smallest of details in our lives. And that's part of his sovereign will. It's part of his heart. To really know him, you're not going to just know the statistics about God. It's kind of like a husband. He can tell people that his wife's age or hair color. He knows her age and her hair color and her eye color and her height. He knows what kind of car she drives and what her favorite restaurant is or what her favorite drink is. But that does not mean that he knows her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all just statistics.
Right.
And we can be studying the Word of God and learn all the statistics about God. But we might not know his heart at all. We might just be full of knowledge and information and not know his heart. That's why we want to lean in and look deeper into what his heart is truly like, because God's heart for us is directly connected to his sovereign will. Mm-hmm. I think of his sovereign will as being the overarching dream that he has. And it's not very often that we sit still long enough to see that dream, to understand that he is creating a perfect partner for himself.
Yes.
He is creating a bride for himself. That is a lofty dream. We're so busy in this life. How do we even sit still long enough and try to wrap our mind around being his best friend, mm-hmm. his perfect partner? His will, his sovereign will, is so good that it is truly worthy to be sought after and highly valued by everyone.
Yes.
We want everyone to value this sovereign will and this big dream. I actually heard somebody refer to God's will as his adorable will, the adorable will of God. I've never really used the term adorable with God, because when I think of adorable, I think of an adorable puppy or an adorable kitten.
Yes.
But adoring God, he's worthy to be adored. So his adorable will, we can adore his will if we'll just sit and think about his heart for a while. I think of 1 Peter. It tells us that God does not wish for any to perish. This is his heart. He does not wish for any to perish. How many of us humans can actually say that we do not wish for anyone we've ever met or that we've ever heard of or seen in the news? We do not wish for them to perish, not even the wicked ones. Mm-hmm. But this is what God's heart is like. Our human hearts are very different, maybe even very opposite of his. It also tells us in the Word that God does not need to be provoked to love his people. He has to be provoked to anger. We can read that in Deuteronomy 9:7. We can read it in Genesis 18:20, 1 Kings 15:30. There are many places that talk about God being provoked to anger. And what provoke means is that you're stirring up a response. You're trying to prod someone to respond. That's provoking. We use that term provoke so often that we think it's just a real quick flash. Like we just provoked somebody. We triggered them. We use the word provoke synonymously with triggering other people. But God is not triggered like that. He does not just real quickly trigger to anger. He has to be provoked, so it has to be nudged and nudged and poked and prodded until he's finally provoked to anger. Well, we humans are not like that, are we?
No.
I think we get angry pretty fast. It can be real quick. We can see something or hear something and it makes us mad. But God is different. He is so full of love. He is love. God is love. And that love, it just cascades over us. And when we think of God like that, maybe it's easier to realize that we are the ones that have to be provoked to love. We don't have to be provoked to anger. That's quick for us. We're triggered right away as human beings. But Hebrews 10:24 admonishes us to provoke one another to love and good works.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
We're really the very opposite of him.
Yes.
So learning how good he is. He's so good that he's patient, really patient, very full of endurance and perseverance. And he asks us to become like him. So we have to make choices to love and choices to do the good works that God is just naturally doing all the time. And that means that we continue to remind and encourage each other to do good works and to love one another and not to let anger overcome us in quick ways.
That's right.
So it's the complete contrary to our Lord. No wonder we think of him as being angry or as being triggered, because we are so easily triggered. And his love cannot be measured. It's everlasting, and it washes over thousands of generations. It does not wear out. His anger is but for a moment. That's what Psalm 30, verse 5 says, that his anger is but for a moment, and his favor lasts a lifetime. It also goes on in Psalm 30, verse 5 to say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
Our God wants us to start every morning with joy. So seeing our Lord for who he really is, that is what delights our hearts, and it sets us free to truly love him and enjoy his sovereign will in our lives. And it sets us free to love others and enjoy others.
Yes.
So I was looking at scriptures that would give us some more definition of God's sovereign will, and to have examples of those scriptures. And you had told me that you've got Romans 8 all ready to go there in the Message translation, and I really want to hear that from you, because I didn't write that one out in the Message translation.
It's in the Passion, yes. Do you have it in the Passion?
Oh, in the Passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you go ahead and read it for us.
Okay, because I know that right before that, it says he works all things together for good to those who love him. Then he goes on to say, for he knew all about us before we were born. Don't try to figure it out, folks. It's God.
Right.
It's God who's doing this. And he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. That's what he's working on. God is at work in us both to work and to will for his good pleasure. Why? Because he wants us to share in the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness. We can't get righteous. No, Kimberly, you're right. We can't get righteous on our own. Mm-mm. He transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son Jesus. Oh, it's beautiful.
Wow, how he loves us.
That's right. He
does. Oh, how he loves
us. That's right.
And his sovereign will is to see that all things work out together for good for us. That is how much he is involved in all of our details, and his heart for us is to see us succeed. He wants to see us succeed. He also wants to see us satisfied and fulfilled. So if you're not feeling much satisfaction in your life, and you don't feel very fulfilled, coming alongside his sovereign will and saying, you know what, that's what I want. I want your big dream, your sovereign will in my life, more than I want all my plans.
Yes.
Because you are working all things together for good. You know how to bring us alongside this dream so that we can have something so much greater. How does it go? Something that the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and it's never even occurred to the imagination of man, the beautiful things that you have in store for us.
Who love
so
him.
That's
yes.
what we want.
That's right. Yes. And God, you know, it's so important to see that this love that God has for us needs to be transferred to our brothers and sisters. We can't keep it. We can't keep it to ourselves. And it says in 1 John 4 that love is perfected with us that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. We know that as he is working on us, we're going to become like Jesus. Kimberly, that is so exciting, because I've lived a long time on this earth, and there have been so many times that I have done things that are wrong. But more and more, I'm seeing and recognizing God in my life, and I'm not tripping up and doing the wrong thing all the time anymore. I used to do it on a regular basis. But now I'm realizing, as God is in me and working in me, he is performing a perfect transformation in me. And that is absolutely beautiful, because I never dreamed of it in myself, that I could be that way. And yet he is bringing us to that point in our lives. Yes.
I know. I'm so amazed by him. And when you say that he's making us more like Jesus, you're really saying that we are becoming like God.
As he
is. We are becoming like God.
That's right. As he is, so are we in this world. That's what it says in 1 John 4. Yes.
Right. Right. I don't know, maybe we've just heard it too many times in our Christian lives, or in Sunday school, or in the sermons that we listen to. But that just blows my mind. We are becoming like God. Wow, and he is the one who is perfecting it and completing it with his sovereign will as the umbrella over us.
Yes.
Another scripture that talks about what I believe is his sovereign will is Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. This is where God declares his purpose will stand, and all his good pleasure will be accomplished. Mm-hmm. This is in Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet that was letting Israel know all the things they had been doing wrong, and that, yes, they provoked God. They provoked him until he was angry. And yet, God is declaring through this prophet, Isaiah, that his purposes are not going to just crumble. His purposes will stand. And his purposes are to make us like him, to cause us to be his perfect partner, his best friend in the universe. And all this good pleasure will be accomplished. Mm. It absolutely will be accomplished. Even when we are doing harm in this life, God is able to cause his good pleasure to be accomplished.
Yes.
That should blow us away.
That's right.
That really should arrest our hearts and shake us awake to the fact that God is working his sovereign will when we are upsetting the revealed will.
That's right. Oh, I'm glad you brought up Isaiah 46, Kimberly, because it goes on to say in the 12th verse, "Listen to me, you stubborn-minded." It's not easy for us to learn new things. It isn't. And boy, once we are entrenched in an idea that we think is the right idea, it's hard to get out of that. And it says, "Listen to me, you stubborn who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will grant salvation to Zion and my glory for Israel." Here, Israel is sinning, they're idolatrous, they're doing all kinds of awful things before God, and he says, "I still love you. I will bring salvation and glory to you." That's the kind of God we serve, Kimberly. It's beautiful.
Yes. Yes. Very beautiful. And I'm so glad that you brought up the stubborn-minded, because that I think is what David had on his heart when he was talking in Psalm 19:14. He's realizing that he is very presumptuous, and he assumes, and he's stubborn. And he says, "Keep back thy servant from these presumptuous sins. Mm-hmm. Let them not rule over me."
Yes.
"And then I will be blameless. I will be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, not stubborn." Break me out of my stubborn-mindedness. Mm-hmm. Our egocentric thinking that we have makes us believe that we have an effect on God's sovereign will. Yes. We end up thinking that we have affected his will. Uh-oh, we broke it. We broke it. He's God. We can't break his dream.
That's
his
right.
dream will be accomplished. And that is what Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 is telling us. And that makes me so happy and so excited. I do. I just want to laugh and do a happy dance.
Okay.
I'm not breaking anything.
No, you're not. And it reminds me of President Trump and his cabinet. Today I was listening to them. Oh, a great group of men and women who really are loyal to the president. And even when they make mistakes, even when they don't say maybe the right thing, he says, oh, you've done a fantastic job. He is always on the positive side of everything, Kimberly. And that's what we need to be with our God. He is always there for us. He's always loving towards us. He's compassionate. He's merciful. When we sin, he loves us so much. He's saying, okay, I'm going to erase all of that on the chalkboard, and I'm going to give a new day to you, and you can do new things today. Follow me. Follow me. And Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, Kimberly, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want us to be alone in this. He wants us to be with him as a team. And it's so good. I'm glad you've been talking about the sovereignty of God, because we think sometimes it's a huge, big, highfalutin word, and we can't understand it, so we'll just kind of read over it. But God is such a wonderful, all-encompassing God, all-encompassing. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be his child. And I pray those of you listening today that you will come to know that what you're doing in this world isn't going to amount to a hill of beans. But what you do under the wonderful covering of your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus, that's going to accomplish much. So I thank you for talking, Kimberly, about these really important things. I believe we need to understand these things more and more. And I pray that those of you listening will be able to understand that God loves you, and he wants you to spread that love to all the world, and he will absolutely bless you beyond measure. All that you could ask or think, he will bless you. Oh, thank you, Kimberly, for a wonderful teaching. God bless you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.